Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our redemption. That which you have paid, O Lord, a price for us. But we are waiting, Father, for the redemption of this body. We are not looking to the grave, Lord. That's not our goal. We are looking for the day and the time that you will appear, Father, and take your sins away. Father, today, right now, Lord, as you approach for the word, we ask that you open our heart. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we finished off with the first piece. And then we got into the second piece. Now, I'm talking about this beastly thing. My title of the message is beastly. Because I want to show you what's going on in the world today. And we read in the Bible about the first beast that rise up from the sea. Alright? And then we read about the second beast that rise up from the land. And we're all expecting that sooner or later they're going to become an antichrist. They'll appear upon the scene. Right? So we already see how that the Bible talked about this first beast that rise up from the sea, how that we're going to look at the European or Roman Empire. And we read also in the book of Daniel being that there was this diverse beast to begin with. It doesn't have seven heads. It's just a diverse beast with ten horns. That was in the days of the old Roman Empire. But now in the book of Revelation, we read about this beast that came up from the sea that has seven heads. And that is the depiction of the end time going back in the past that there was seven empires that precede what's going to happen in the last day. Well, there's this seven head, and that is going to come an eighth head, which is one that comes up from one of the seven. Now, we also look at that, and then we came to this second beast, which we know is America. And we see that America was, or is, a parallel from with Israel. Israel, in time past, they were a chosen people of God. Now, when God chose a people, he expects the people to follow his instruction and obey his law and his words. But Israel, who were called by the name of God, she was rebellious. The people were their own way. They have opinion. And every one of those in the kingdom of God that God chose, the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel, every one of them, practically, are carnal in some way, religious in another way. And even so that, the children of Israel troubled Moses so much that Moses himself also failed as a man of God. Now, because he was so troubled, pressure put on him, stresses put on him, he failed also. And remember this, don't blame the leader, the pastor of a church, because he made a mistake. And you blame the pastor because they will think about what the church has created for him. Why do you think Brother Abraham failed? In certain way. Because the people put so much pleasure on him. He wants to please people. Yeah, but many times we try to please people. And look. Look at Aaron. Moses was up there in the mountain. The people pressure on him, right? To build them an, a God. You build a God out of gold. Aaron as a leader, assistant to Moses, failed. Huh? Actually, as I said, when we look at the second beast, we might well understand that there was this land, America, and how that they were, well, they took the name of God. In God we trust, as I said, a nation under God. America is the only nation in modern century. We would say 200 years ago or so, when America was founded, they took that in God we trust. A land of the free. There were pilgrims that came from Europe, England, to get away from the bondage of Roman Catholicism. But by and by, there were religious leaders from Rome that comes in, sneak in, and undermine the system. And when you have the government not paying attention, the nation slowly, slowly become demoralized. Corruption sets in. Unrest will be there. And look at today what happened in America. When the people who are saying that they are a nation under God or a kingdom under God, like Israel, if they do not follow the word of God and rebel, God send Israel into bondage. Then he may be taught a lesson. The same thing, America is going through the same way, same path. We read already last week in the book of Jeremiah how the God will send them to the sword. And that is what is coming upon East America today. Now, when we talk about the first beast, then we saw the woman sitting on the beast. Then we see the second beast came out of the land, had two horns. But we also see that this second beast was influenced by something else. And in that, they built the image to the beast. The first beast you have, a woman sitting on it. The second beast, they had an image to it. And what are we looking at in this end time? I want to show you something. But remember this. The thing that we are talking about, we must understand that we are dealing with the word of God. You are the believer of God. We believe this word, the Holy Bible, to be the word of God, the scripture of God, the truth of God. So if we are looking at the Bible, if the Bible is our absolute, if the Bible is our, the core, you know, in our spiritual life, the very essence of life in us, and we believe this, then we should seriously take note in the hour that we live in right now. I wrote to a sister. I said that we are living now in this year, 2019. By May the 14th, Israel will have completed 70 years of rebirth. Now, if something did not happen by then, if Ezekiel 38, 39, there's no sign of it coming on, or that the Antichrist signing a peace treaty, or Israel signing a peace, or not peace treaty, an agreement, a covenant, without the nations, leader of the world, then perhaps, crossing that day, the Lord may just allow us to go on, like Israel, in of old, when they were out there in the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt. Then Moses said, you know, for those who are 70 years, and by strength, they enter into the 80th year. So, would the Lord allow Israel to go into the 80th year? 71, 72, 73 onwards. And you and I know, there was a teaching that I taught, that we are living in the last church age. The beginning of the church age is average on the year 1906. Remember? There was the outpouring, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In 1909. If God, we take from what God said to Noah, or speak about, or to himself rather, that my spirit will no longer strive with man, his days 120 years. So the generation of man's life can go up to 120. So if you take 1906, you add 120 to it, what year will you reach to? 2026. And we are here in 2019. How many more years? 7 years to reach that year. So we are ready at that end. And we want to see further that as believer of the Word of God, we are concentrating on the Word of God. We know out there what's politically, what's going on in the world. And as believer, Don't be religious. I tell it many times, don't you be religious. Be spiritual to understand what God is doing, what is happening now in the world. As the Bible says, watch and pray. So now, there are, you know, denominations have their ways. What do you do? Huh? And I know a lot, I mean, there's some of these brothers that, believers from the other churches that left the church and do not come here. Or even some that came here. And when they left, they go out to the denomination church. And hopefully they could worship there, but can't. They were there for a few weeks and said, oh, we cannot take this stuff. Then they moved to another church. And they couldn't take those stuff. And what did they do? Many were still listening to the team. And even Sister Bill would tell me, I couldn't take the stuff. She told me that. She left the church over there, well-known big church over there in the state. Huh? And what happened? She could not take it because of friction inside the church. So every time you, every church has friction. Next week I'm going to talk another subject. It's about the Sacred Heart. I want to say about the Sacred Heart of Christ, not the Sacred Heart of Christ, but the Sacred Heart of the Church of God. And we'll see if it doesn't touch you and about you yourself looking at yourself, then something is wrong. Don't look at others. Look about yourself. Look at yourself. Huh? So she already had this problem too. First she said a problem there. She left spectrum, as she would say. And then she came back somehow because she was searching for it on the internet and came across our website. Sister Grant did the same thing. You cannot take something which is not scripture and eat it, because if you are a true born child of God, you cannot eat junk food. See? So, when we look at the Word of God, so when we look at it, we want to see what the Scripture said, not what denomination said, not what the brother might say, or this brother's opinion, or that sister's opinion. Let us look exactly what the Bible said. Huh? Okay. Now, the thing was this, that there have been, as I said, ending last week. It's one of these things that very common is debated. It's about, as I said last week, it's about the death sentence. And just because I said Brother Bam do not believe in death sentence, there from this Branham, I want to defend Brother Branham. And it doesn't matter whether you defend Brother Branham. You defend Brother Branham wisely. Brother Branham need no defense. His word that he spoke, whether it's true or not, is judged only by God in the Word. People will make a mistake by saying something. Brother Branham, as I said many times, he had his opinion. And I know a lot of people do not like, but you know something, that video here that we have recorded and put on the website, many have heard it and many agree. And some have come out. Some have come out, you know, to the truth. But there are others, no, they will fight and argue. Oh, who is Brother Branham? I mean, who is Brother Gamble? Brother Branham was vindicated and so on and so forth. And this go on and go on and on. But I want to, you are my responsibility in this church. And those churches out there that God have put under my care too. So I have to get them to understand this. And even as much about them say, stay with the Word, get back to it, stay with it. If the thing that I spoke, if it's not according to the Word, don't believe it. Be like the wise Berean, even as Paul said. They took it to the Scripture and see those things that he spoke, whether they were true. Right. So, here is another thing here regarding this. I want to show you now. You know, opinions are there. You know Martin Luther. You know John Wesley. Now, when we have opinion, then one of the very common opinions is this. We all revere men of God. And how did this venerations of the Virgin Mary come about? How did it start? We read in the Bible that Mary was a virgin, and how that God chose her to give birth to the Messiah. Right? And the Bible said that she was, in the Bible it wrote down that how that Elizabeth said, how that you are so blessed. The world will know you. The believer will call you the blessed. Yeah, and things like that. Surely. So there is this veneration, oh, she was so special. But in veneration, people start to lift her up into being God. People revere the Apostle Peter. They revere the Apostle Paul. Alright? So it knows that people revere. Even today, it's very natural. You go to India, go to any places, someone, man who claim to be holy, walking down the street, even though he is a stranger to you. Now, if I go to India, for example, if I go to India, if I wear a saffron robe, I wear a saffron robe, okay, have my hair all shaved, put all those colors on my face, alright, perhaps grow a beard, and walk with, on the street with the staff, walk into the village, I find the people look at me. You agree with that? Because this is the habit, it is the canality, the religious side of human being. They think you are somebody that is very holy, coming from the mountain, from heaven above, or whatever. And that is the fault of religious people. So they reveal, but the question is this. How did it all start? It started with the people doing that, and the calendar comes in, they build it up more and more. Okay, look at that. You see, the reveal Mary, if you wear, of course, this, the paint picture, the paint icons, right? And, of course, there's always this halo above her head, and this is, well, supposed to be Jesus. And the painting is there. Now, this one here, where is this one from? Look at the painting. Every nation, the veneration of saints, of Mary, or Christ, all will take the color of their country. So this is Ethiopia. I can see, well, that's Middle Eastern, of course. That's both, I think it must be Joseph. I don't know. You can see the color is different. And this is darker. And I, maybe from some place in Middle Eastern where there are people dark skin. Oh. What do you think? This is somewhere in the part of India, but it's Persia. So of course, you see, you have a black Jesus here, or, you know, very Indian looking. And it's one thing to paint the picture, but they will put it up into an altar and start praying to it. And yet the Bible says, thou shalt make no images, have images before me. But why the Catholic doing it? And why even some of the Greek Orthodox are doing it? Don't they know that they brought the commandment? They know! The leaders know. But they will please the people. And I think that is one of the weaknesses of human beings. That's why people question in Abraham's church, Abraham Tabernacle. Because someone gave it to him, a crucifix. And I think the crucifix was made of some kind of special wood from Israel. And he hung it upon the church. And you see from the, if you see looking towards the altar, to the pulpit, you can see it there, right there. A crucifix, not a cross, a crucifix. You know what a crucifix is? Not a cross. A crucifix is a cross with someone hanging on it. And it's not nice looking. I mean, why have that? Now, I don't want to please people, you know. I mean, we human beings, people are weak. They want to please people. That's not nice. The people are talking about what is that doing that? Doing in the church. Well, you see that? See there, I think this is Porsche or something. That's Chinese. China. I see that? Yeah. That's where the Virgin Mary in China is in the image of Kuan Yin. But Kuan Yin, you don't see her carrying a baby, but this one is also Kuan Yin carrying a baby. So now, that's a good question. Now, you have this, of course, Revelation chapter 12, where the woman upon the beast. And they have gone to the, as time progresses, they're not just a painting, they make a figurine. And then put it on the altar, and they worship. And this is the purpose of the tomb of Mary. See the altar right there? How the people, how the saints get around Mary with the child, and they were here to pray. They have all these images. Is it good? Let me say this. I'll ask you this question. Do you know they're on the internet? There have been a great debate. And there are those that prove that Jesus Christ is not white. Someone sent me a WhatsApp and asked me a question. Jesus is not white. Jesus is black. Brother God, there have been so much proof on the internet. Jesus is black. Is Jesus black? Or is Jesus white? And I told him, Jesus is not black, neither is he white. He is ruddy, brownish. What makes people? Because the gospel went from Israel, went to America, to Europe, so because the European people are white, so Jesus is white. And you can see in the movie, Charles Heston is white. I mean, of course, he's white. I mean, Moses, I think the Ten Commandments, he's white. Right? Noah is white. But what is the color of Christ? What is the color? It's reddish brown color. It's a summer color. Neither white nor black. Christ is not a Japhet, thick braced. Neither was he from the Hamic group. But there are those on the internet that insist he was from Ham. See? And they argue over it. Can't they even see what the Bible talks about? And Jesus was born. And you know what the argument is? Because, you know, to prove that Jesus was black is very simple, you see. When Herod wanted to kill Jesus, or wanted to kill the baby, right? The Savior. Remember? And the angels, the Lord told Joseph, send him down to Egypt. See! Nobody will recognize him because he's black among the Egyptians who are black. Oh. See, that's the argument. Are all Egyptians really black in those days? Are they really? Are they as black as black Negroes today? Huh? You know, I told the brother, I said, look, in China, it's a very vast land, space, it's a big nation, a lot of lands. So if you go to North China, South China, East China, West China, look at the color of the Chinese. Are they the same? If you go to India, the border of India and China, the Chinese there are very much like the Indian color. You know that, don't you? Right. Go to Shanghai, they are before fair skin. Go to the north, near the border of Russia, they look very much like the Russian white. And the southern Chinese, like you and me. You understand? So the color we will say about the stomach, the blood, you can find that in Middle East today. Those like the one, those who are not the black, the migrants that went there. Their skin just like perhaps I would say Brother Pierre, you know, really reddish skin, that kind of look. but not the white colors like Sister Greta or Sister Breed, the kind of color. No. But the other thing is this. This veneration of Jesus, of Mary and the baby Jesus, when it started throughout the Christian age, it came right down even to Luther and even John Wesley. This is what Martin Luther said about Mary. He was a man whom God sent to bring forth the message of the just shall live by faith, justification. He believed that Mary has no equal among creation. In what sense was Mary has no equal among the creation? In what sense? I mean, he was specially chosen of God. Yeah, we know that. Because God chose her. God wanted to be gracious or merciful to whoever he will, and he chose and ordained whom he will. As Paul Abraham said, the gift that God gave me have nothing to do with it. I didn't ask for it. Right? Sure. Number two, Mary was without sin, according to Martin Luther. Was born sinless. Number three, Mary was a perpetual virgin. Never had sex with Joseph. Four, the veneration of Mary is inscribed in the very depth of the human heart. I don't know what you mean by that. It's inscribed, the veneration of Mary is inscribed in the very depths of the human heart. I don't venerate Mary like that. I thank God for Mary, I thank God for Joseph, I thank God for Paul, I thank God for Peter. Right? Next, he said this. Mary is the mother of all Christians. Now, that's Martin Luther. You know how he passed right now and he carried on. And it is true that if you want to indoctrinate a person, keep on repeating the same thing over so often, and people will be brainwashed. And that's why we have this suicide bomber out there in this extreme Islamic group. Do it, mother, and die for Allah, and you will, as a mother, you will go to heaven, and you have how many virgins? How many? Something. Seven virgins. 70 virgins. Wow. I mean, must be sex many of people here to me. You go to heaven, you have sex. You see that kind of a thing, and then people here, young men, they hear it, they like it. Okay, let me just bomb myself to death among and killing some infidel, and I have something virgin in heaven. You indoctrinate long enough, that's what they will believe. Next, you can never honor Mary enough. Ooh. You can never honor Christ enough, not Mary. How much you want to honor Mary? Are you to have a picture of Mary in the house, an altar of Mary in the house? Or say Hail Mary full of grace every day, which has no meaning because you're mumbling something? Prayer, remember one thing, prayer is talking to God. It is supplication. You don't mumble. Heavenly Father, have hold of your lightning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as you walk along the road. Is that what you do? It's not that. Mary, and many reformers believe that Mary was a perpetual virgin. Now we know this has been achieved. Not only that they venerate Mary, but you know how old was the tradition, the traditional teaching. Even up to today, many people believe it. But it started way back in the carriages. How old was Mary when she was married to Joseph? And how old was Joseph when he took Mary? Can you guess? They say Mary was 12 years old. A child, 12 years old. Where does that come from now? I know that that's where the tradition comes from, where there are people that betroth their child when they're even a little baby to a man who's 40 years old. Hopefully by the time that this man is 53 years old, the child is already 12 years old. Because to them, you cannot marry a child or have sex with a child until she had her period, the first period. And that's the thing about it. So Mary was 12 years old. That's what they believe, tradition. How was Joseph? Tell me, how was Joseph? 70 years old. Huh? Or even older. 70 years old. An old man married a 12-year-old girl. And the reason they said it was that God told Joseph to take care of her. Marry her, take care of her. Not marry her as husband or wife. Hey, think about it. That's why they said that Mary was a perpetual virgin. And the brother and sister that was named in the Bible, mentioned in the Bible, was not from Mary. It was from Joseph's first wife. And Joseph's first wife passed away. Now, what did the Bible actually say? Let us look. Oh, not 70 years old, actually 90 years old. They said Joseph was 90 years old. Come on, 90 years old is an old man already, man. There's nothing there. Isn't it strange? How tradition come all the way down? Let's go and look into the Bible. Matthew 13, 55-56. And somebody read it.
Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph, and Simon and Judah, and his sisters, are they not all with us? When then have this man all the things?
Right. So now, they said, well, the word brother and sister, what is a Syrian word, because that's how the Hebrews speak, because anyone who is a nephew or uncle, they are still considered brother, like Abraham called Lot his brother, which means king, my king. You know, okay, I understand that, fair enough. So they say from this verse, it could be that those brother and sister of Mary, as it mentioned by the person who said that, was not, they were not truly his brother and sister by blood from Mary. Really? Okay, fine. We give it back. We give it the, what do you call it, benefit of doubt. But let us read another text and see if this text will not give you the answer. Matthew 1. Verse 18 to 25.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
2 points in this text. The Lord said to Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And he didn't appear and say, do not be afraid to take Mary and care for her. Or do not be afraid to take Mary as your daughter. Then there's no such word. As your wife. What is wife? Wife is someone who comes from his side. As what Adam was said. Thou art born of my bone, flesh of my flesh. For this cause, father, a man shall leave his father and mother and be clasped to his wife. They both shall be one flesh. How can it be one flesh if it's not called a wife? A man may marry a woman, and they live in a three-room apartment, two bedrooms. You sleep in one, I sleep in one. We call Mr. and Mrs. Gunn, or Mr. and Mrs. Dunn, or Mr. and Mrs. Lim, or Johnson, whatever you want to call. Just for the convenience of getting a public housing, a public apartment, right? And she goes to work, he goes to work, he comes back home, he sleeps in his room, and she comes back home, she sleeps in her room. And they get up in the morning, good morning, James, good morning, Sarah. They call by name and they are no wives, no husband. They will never call each other, my honey, my dear, no. So, are they husband and wife? They are not. They have taken a vow, yes. For what? For their own agenda. Not for what God has said in the Bible. See? Look at the last verse. And this last one does not clinch what the truth should be. And Joseph knew her not until she had brought her firstborn child. What does it mean by knew? It means it's a very well known verse, very well known word. It means to say that word, as a word we know in the Bible, throughout the word news, Abraham knew Sarah the wife, right? Huh? Means Joseph had never had any sexual intercourse until Jesus was born. And don't tell me that he was 90 years old. But tradition is why it brings darkness into religious people's life. There are a lot of people who want to seek for God and all this. Oh yes. It's one thing but one who go out there and worship idols and you shout down the gospel, they don't want it. Because everybody have a choice. That's why Gideon stood up and said to the nation of Israel, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they're not all Israel. Yeah, they claim to know God because they know from the beginning, the story from the beginning, how God called Abraham. How Abraham had son Isaac and Jacob before 12 nations. Oh, they know the Yahweh. They know the story and all that about Moses and the miracle that were done. But yet, many of them have their own opinion, ideas about God. And so, stay away from tradition. And we'll talk about, as I said, watch and pray. Don't let, like what? It has always been this. The Branhamites are talking about, and many of them are so extreme that this was one text that was written to a sister or to a brother. And it has been said to me many times too. This one was said, only to Brother Branham was it given to have the power of infallibility. That of necessity had to return to the church to clear up all the scriptural questions left after the church ages had finished up. Now, Brother Branham has already done his work. He died in 65. There are still a lot of mystery that is left after he was gone. And that's why I was being challenged in Africa, many times in Africa, even India and the Philippines. What mystery is there left? The whole lot of mystery. Things that were revealed even after Brother Branham was gone. So talk about Brother Branham was given the infallibility, the power of infallibility. to clear up the mysteries. Not all, but what was necessary in the period of time that God called him. You know. So because of his opinion, defense of Brother Branham would, the defender of Brother Branham were many. There are many today. And when it comes to this death sentence thing that I want to talk about, I want to say this. You know the man out there in Australia or New Zealand, or he was Australian, he was New Zealand, and he went out to the mosque and started shooting and killing people, right? And you saw the newspaper report, and you got a picture today. He stood there with his handcuff on, with the guns on his side. And did you see the power sign that he did with his hand? Like this. Do you know what this sign means? He said, okay, good, right? Right, you're on this side. How is everything? It's good. How is the food? Good. Or you put the thumbs up, right? Even the thumbs up, in certain countries, you put this, you get head chopped off. And what does this sign mean? To us, good, right? Do you know this sign means 666, the Antichrist? Do you see the 666 here? You don't. There are a lot of things on the internet, you don't know what you're looking at. There are a lot of news that is out there now. And signs will change over time. That is why when you're out there in certain country, don't stop putting your hand, you know, anyhow. Keep your hand to yourself. This is the 666 signs of, to many people. But it also means the signs of supreme. And the power sign. Terrible, isn't it? But you know the middle finger sign, right? I don't have to show you. Look, it's terrible. Huh? Huh? The world changes. And what do you think the man is going to plead? How many people have he killed? 40 or 30 something injured? Michael Jackson. He died not long ago. He raised the frame. Years ago when I was young, yeah, he was known for being one of the Jackson 5. I think he's the youngest. If I'm not mistaken, he might not be gone. I think he's the youngest. And he had a good voice. Man, he can entertain. He grew up, he became a main singer. He grew up, he became an entertainer. And you know, he can really sing and he can really do all those movements. Right? Well, everybody loves him. He lived a good life. Then when he's about going older, he went into drugs. And then you know what interview? He blamed his father because his father abused him. His father abused the rest of the brother. In court, and this is what America does. If a man would murder somebody else, he ran up in court. You know what happened? He will plead insanity. And he said that when I was young, I was abused by my father. And so because of, I was abused by my father, now I'm behaving the same. That is always the case. They plead insanity. They will plead child abuse in a young age. I know that. Not that he was a young man. Look, if you have a young fellow being abused by the father from a young age, and he is now in his preteen, maybe he's 34 years old, and one day he up there get upset, he takes something and knocks somebody because that somebody argued with him. You alright? That may be the case that the judge will consider because he's still young, manipulating the mind. He's still there. But when you are growing up, you have a good job, everything goes fine, dandy, right? 34 years old, you enjoy a good life, but when the stress of work comes, you start taking drugs. And when you start taking drugs, you start drinking. And when you are big, you drink it all, you quarrel with somebody in the pub and you start to fight with him, you kill him. What then? Can you go back and say, because I was abused by my father? And that's one thing about capital punishment. In America, it's so hard for them to decide. They always be insanity, be child abused. No, look, when I was young, my father was, we were poor. I remember the time when I was young, trying to get my dad to give me some money, just a little, 5 cents, 10 cents. Oh, I would have to be there begging for him, sitting there waiting, rubbing my foot on the floor, you know, just to have 10 cents. And he would not give it to me. Daddy, I'll be there for about 1 hour. Then finally, reluctantly, he gave me that 10 cents. Is that not child abuse? Huh? Yeah, my father went out, he will come with me. I'm going out to Chinatown. Go and collect some shares. I have to go with him. Because I'm the eldest in the home. And I was, of course, a teenager, I was still in primary school. I go with him. So he's sitting on the roadside and eat Teochew porridge. You know Teochew porridge on the store is this punji, another store with the tang, you know, how the push cutting. And then there's a bench and you sit and eat. My father was squat on it. You know, China man, squat and you will fit me. And when it's too hot and sweaty, he would take out his towel and wipe his face and then wipe it on my face too. I don't know, you know, I want to be him. I had a tough time in those days. I'm the only one out of the 10 siblings. I mean, we are 6 on one side, the other side. I'm the only one. He always had to go with him. Go on the tricycle, cycle all the way from Queenstown to Beach Road. You know where Queenstown is? The 4-bar square. All we would say, the driving center in Queensway MRT station, cycle all the way. My father sit behind. I cycle. All the way from there to Beach Road. You know where Beach Road is today? Yeah. Bought to during two, what do you call that? Two cycle. Huh? Basket. And they're heavy. And a cycle bag. He sit behind. I'll cycle. By the way, and that time, of course, I was in secondary school. So, is that child abuse? So I go around abuse people, abuse my son. That's what my grandfather did. That's what your grandfather did. Go, do it. That is not because we come to the age where we should know what we are doing. We have choices. We make choices. Don't blame it when you are, you know, when you are young. Yeah, you know, for example, I had my little rascal there. If you have a little quarrel with some kid, maybe, and start to do something, start to push him or punch him or something, hey, that's not to be done because you're a child. But when we are down, when you're out there, if you're driving, or you knock somebody down, accidentally, or maybe you walk in the mall, too crowded, and you knock somebody, and the person turn around and start to argue with that child with you, just say sorry. And even though you're not in the wrong, as I said, there are times, you get up from the elevator, you know, top of the step once on the right or right. You get on the elevator, up on the elevator, you're supposed to go straight. But when I step out, the guy on my left turned right and knocked me. And he looked at me because I was walking forward, he was thinking, he think that he has the right way by turning like that. And he looked at me, like, you know, like you want to fight or something. I look at him, I know he is, maybe he got wrong side of bed, or the wrong side of bed in the morning. Or maybe that he had a hard time with his wife. Sorry, I just walk off. Because you don't want to have an altercation with him. And then in the end, what does it do? Huh? I mean, life is not that. Don't always quarrel. And that's why road rage is common. Somebody horn you don't like, or you look at you and show the middle finger, you got upset, you saw something like, get off, fight. What does it do? Human being, that is true. The instinct that is born in us, that nature of self-survival and wanted to fight and punch people and kill people, is there. Because we are easily angered. And that's what anger is. And, you know, that is very dangerous. The wrath of a man. So I just wonder now, when the Bible talks about death, talking about capital punishment. When you kill someone, the law just simply said his life will be taken. That is what we read in the book of Genesis chapter 9, right? Is it chapter 9 verse 6? Is it? Huh? But that was before the law of Moses was given. Later on, the law of Moses was given, then there is something that God shared and said. Alright, let's go to Exodus chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 2 to 3.
If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he died, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he shall make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft.
You know, here is it. When a thief gets in, I know that we don't have the car like that we have in the homes. So if a thief breaks into the house and there's no light, no proper lighting, and you as the owner of the house, you came out from your bed, wake up from your bed, and you saw somebody breaking the house, you take a club and you knock him and you kill him, you're not guilty. But if it's a daylight robbery, the thief comes in your house, right? You can see him. And you kill him, then there's a different story. That is to say, self-defense is one thing. If somebody come and wanted to kill you, what do? Let him kill you? No. You defend yourself. There is a different story. Same thing over in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah 4, 11 to 14.
And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see. He will come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence he shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after the families with their swords, their spears, and their bow. And I looked, and I rose up, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses.
Right. So what do you think about this? They were building the wall of Jerusalem. Went back. The children of Israel went back after the decree was given by Cyrus. They went back to build a temple. I mean, first of all, to build the city, the wall. And here we have the adversary. The Samaritans lived there. They were troublemakers. They create trouble. They want to go in and, you know, fight them. So what do you think the Jew is doing? Nehemiah and all those leaders that are around asked. They came up close, told them to take a sword, stand by, and as you build, put a sword. When they attack, kill, fight them. Obviously, that is defense. Right? Deuteronomy 32, verse 39.
See now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
Right. The Bible says in other places, God says, I create good and I create evil. Right? But why is God so evil? Was he evil in the first place? How can you ever know what is good if God does not present the evil side of it? How can you know what is light if there's no darkness? Is that the truth? How do you know what is black unless you know what is white? How do you know what is fake unless you know what is genuine? Huh? And that's the reason why there's always been discussion. Why if God is so good? Why on earth did he allow wars and diseases? Why did he allow and create Satan? And this was what I was witnessing to when I was having my mission in Chinatown. Because this couple were talking about God created Satan. He said, yes, in a way. But he was not Satan in the first place. Satan means what? Adversary. But there was no Satan. There was no adversary in the first place. But how did Amos restart? Because of choices. God had to give His creation choice to make. It's the same thing here. You all have a choice. All the angels were not created or wanted. They were all created good, but they were not command to, like you program a robot to do certain thing, and he does all that he does, isn't it? And the robot don't have a choice. Of course, nowadays Hollywood make movies about AI that it becomes so human-like, can make their own choice, can learn. They call them called artificial intelligence, which of course in the long run it may be. That all the AI can make, can learn from mistakes. So God has given them choice, and Lucifer just want to be like God, and with that God allows it and see things work out. But he doesn't want a people who are robots. He wants a people who love him freely. I say this many times, no, I don't ask my son, I don't say, my grandson, come here, I want you to love me always. I want to say good morning grandpa all the time. I want you to hug grandpa all the time. And each time you hug grandpa, you must say, I love you. I don't say that to him. Right. He learns a driver by, you know. Of course, many times he see me, I was not around. I say, hey, who is this man standing here? Okay, grandpa. You know, that is the story, is learning, because we are all learning. We all have a choice. I walk. If I see you, I can ignore you. Right? I say, well, nobody, because I don't like you. And don't do that. Or I can go up to you and say, hello. Good morning. Shake your hand. That's right. And if you ask me, break up, we'll come. Let's go eat. I say, okay, let me give you a treat. Really? I say, yeah. Can I go to this expensive Japanese food? Will that? I can say yes or no, right? I'm the right male child, isn't it? I can tell you, come on man, don't have to eat such a big expensive, I mean, we don't have to go spend lots of money in this expensive restaurant. Let us go to Kopitiam. I made a choice. You made a choice. That's what we understand. So when we come to this death sentencing over the years, the argument and all this now, terrorists, like not even the Nazis. What do you think about these people? Well, or those who travel from Singapore, Malaysia, they have migrated and joined the ISIS, huh? Yeah, you know that, right? So this, what is the intention of these people? They want to join a fight. Okay. But if they already are fighting a war, that's one thing. The one thing about the Bible teaches is never be the aggressor. Oh, well, what about the Jew Israel that went across the Canaan land and killed all those Canaanites? Huh? That is one thing a lot of people just don't understand. And that is not just the goal. God commanded them to go across this land, or River Jordan, and destroy all those Canaanites. Why? In the first place. Because those are the descendants of the seed that were so wicked. They came down from Canaan, who was a mixture of Nebo the son of Ham, with his mother. And his mother was already a serpent seed woman. Right? And Noah was a pure seed. And when the three sons was born, Ham, Shem, Japheth, they all have 50%, 50%. So each of the sons have 50% of the serpentine blood in them. That's why God from that time on told them, if a man takes a man's blood, his life will be taken as well. But the thing is, Ham slept with his mother. The mother is a full-blooded serpent seed woman. And Ham has 50%. And that transferred down to Canaan, the son that was born. And he's the one that has so much wickedness of that spirit in him, that when the children were propagated, they were very wicked. They were so wicked that God just need to wipe them out. And this one was so to do. But later on, after that Canaanite was wiped out, but there still many remain that intermarried with the children of Israel. So when they intermarried, that serpent gene started to water down. And now at the same time, that depends on whether it's dormant or not. But there are some that, of course, suffice very much. Now we see many today. And so where are the Canaanites today? It's the spirit that live in this, many of these mercenaries, or these people they just want to kill. Huh? And I think that Hollywood have produced a lot of movies that are so violent, that when you watch all that, you say, oh, you feel that that fellow is so wicked, I want to kill him too. Have you ever seen? Have you ever been moved by movies like that? Do you? And you know, if I want a good cry, I just listen to one music, one song only. And that one song is, I'm Nobody's Child. Have you heard the song? It made me cry all the time. If I just want to need a good cry, I will listen to that song. And remind me, I'm nobody's child, but God took me. Right, where can I go? And remind me of all the children that were born blind, they couldn't see. Or born was orphaned without mother and father. That's right. And so, you look at Himmler, Eichmann, Hitler, this Nazi fella who killed how many people in the Second World War? And so, okay, that is, they commit genocide. They are war criminal. They should be put to death. But if a man killed another man in America, it's always a different thing. That's why we have problem in America penitentiary. It's overcrowded. And there are many cases on the death row still waiting. Years after years, years after years. And they're overcrowded because of smaller crime that they committed, like what? Drug abuse. And they are put in there too. Alright, so I want to finish on one more thing here. You know, I was talking to this Branhamites, not this couple of few weeks ago. And again, as usual, you know, when you're religious, as I said, you, whether you're religious by being a Christian in a denomination, tradition, you will tend to correct the Bible. You will try to quote the Bible. But let us make sure that what we quote makes sense. Alright? In the eyes of God and in the Word of God. Whether you're quoting Luther, Wesley, or Brother Brown, or anybody, as I said, I can quote the Pope. If the Pope says Jesus is the Savior of the world, I can say Amen to that. Right? Correct. But if the Pope says Mary is the Mother of God, I don't agree with that, because why do you see in the Bible? You see the thing? I just like my law, Brother Tiang's brother. He told us that your Jesus is a higher God than my God. Because he was, I don't know why he was anyway. Well, he can say that. I said, of course. I have to say to him, yeah, of course. Because that is true. Because there is no other God. I said, Christ. Whatever you are worshipping, they ain't God in the first place. In religion, Satan, or in the world today, since mankind, or God created mankind, and he came into the garden, and he brought about the fall, Satan set the mood to destroy even the elect, if possible. And we may not think about it. Many people may not think about it. We are elect. I'm okay. And you know what the Bible said? Jesus said that the wicked one will try to deceive the elect if it is possible. Because we know it is not possible. And people have taken that, especially for those people who believe in anti-message. Many have taken that out of context. Oh, because I believe Brother Branham, but I believe the message. I'm not deceived. And yet we have so much confusion all around. We have the beast and the woman. We have the beast and the image. And then what do we have? The beast and the woman and the image brings to you the Antichrist. Huh? We have the beast and the woman. The beast and the image. This is the first beast with the woman sitting on it. This is the second beast. And then was an image built to him. And all of this the Satan is doing slowly, slowly, to bring about the Antichrist. Yeah. This believer quote to me, this quote of Brother Brian. Don't take some new thing. They are flying everywhere. Don't take these new things. The Lord your God has declared to you what is truth. The Lord your God has vindicated what is truth by his word, by his spirit. Not by power, not by mind, but by my spirit. And the spirit, God seeks those who worship him in spirit and truth. Thy word is truth. And he has thoroughly vindicated that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. He has showed the evening seeds to you. He has revealed it to you in the Word. He has proven to you by the Spirit. Now what this brother, but I know what Brother Abraham said here. What do you think Brother Abraham is trying to say here? If you are with, just listen. I have no problem trying to just understand what Brother Abraham said. He's speaking to the church. Don't take those new things out there. You know there's a lot of sensation that you can see even in the today on the internet. Are you think that Benny Hinn and his nonsense? Peter Popoff and his nonsense. Right? Those new things. God is doing new things. We know God is doing new things also. Don't you think so? God is doing a new thing? But what Brother Abraham is saying is different from what these people are interpreting. But this was given to me by, of course, this brand like people. As you just want to quote. Everything Brother Bab said, it's over, it's finished. No more mystery. That's why they say, don't, Brother Bab said, don't take some new thing. We already have the vindicated word. Right? So, I sent this quote to them. I said, this is what Brother Bab said. Now, this is quote versus quote now. I said, this is what Brother Bab said. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is for individuals. That's the reason organization get the people out of the line of God every time. Because God gives something new constantly. He's moving all like that. But this is always the background. Watch and see it as it peels off in the Bible. Look at it how it's peeling off in time. Then you can see where you are getting to. I'm so glad that God don't keep us stale. Can you get it? Everything's over. Brother said, I'm so glad God don't keep us stale. You want to be stale, Brother Mike? Stay stale. Because the food that Brother Ben dished back in the 50s, 60s were for the days of his time. And for the message to go to others they have not heard. But when you heard it, you move on. And this year, it's 2019. How many years already has it been since Brother Abraham died? How many years? 53. Oh, okay. That's a long time. So that's more than half a decade now. I mean half a century. Huh? And when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, they were eating manna. When they crossed over the River Jordan, they ate the old corn of the land. Manna is only temporary. But the old corn of the land It's always growing up, producing new one. It never was still. See that? I'm so glad that God don't keep us still. He got something new all the time. Just one blessing after another. And yet, don't take something new. The very first time. How do we read the code? How do we understand what Brother Branham said? If you cannot understand the Bible, it's just that people have taken Bible verses and not quotes of the Bible. That's why you try to tell people about water baptism in Jesus' name. Oh, no. Jesus said, water, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And also practice that. That's we take it. But they did not realize after the death of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter told them the actual revelation of it. Another quote. Finally, out broke the Pentecost, coming out of it all of it. What happened then? Did he run well? What did he do you? You went right back in the same mud. You come out. A lot of people came out under the message. They've been around the message for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, 50 years, and then went back to the mud again. God's alive, leading the way. Don't go back. You went right back in the same mud you came out of, right back in the same slope, went back to discrepancy to make organization. Right? That's what they have been doing. You had to compromise on the word. And every time God would send something new, you couldn't receive it. That's right. Discrepancy again. After death of Brother Branham, nothing. Everything is still. God don't move again. God doesn't move. What does the Bible say? What does it say? What does the Bible say? God is in the present. He's always leading the way. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He keeps moving. It doesn't stay put. And we are told to go on unto perfection. Again here. Bless all of us, Lord, who has been a long time in the road. We pray that you will teach us new things by thy word. Give us better understanding by the Spirit, Lord. May he come and interpret the word. The only interpreter we have is the Spirit. We pray that he grant to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I say this simply. As I said, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, what was the purpose? There are two things, very basic things that the Holy Spirit will do to you. When he comes to your life, he will guide you into all truth. And show you things to come. Right? You mean to say all things have been shown and no more? I'm expecting something new to come. That's why God is still supplementing the church, sinning the church, complainer of the church. Huh? Disagreeable things. You cannot tell me. You want to leave the church. And on and on and on. One will take another, another will take another. So take new thing or not. Finally, whatever we have, there's always a spiritual move of the devil. I want you to look at this thing. Have you come across this? 30 years ago, 12, you know, there's always something new coming out. That's what he said, the thing that Brother Branham will tell you. Don't take this new thing. So you must know what the new thing that belongs to God, what new thing that does not belong to God. Take the new things that belong to God. Don't take the new thing that do not belong to God. It belongs to the devil. And this is of the devil. You probably never heard of this. Many people don't. It has been well domain for long time ago. But the last 30 years or so, there have always been these talks about this and that over this Noahide law. You know, in the Second World War, do you think that Hitler suddenly came out to be somebody and said, that's fine. No, there's always something behind. It takes many years, right? To plan. Obviously. Huh? It's the same thing of how the Catholic Church rise up. With all the talks behind their whatever secrecy they have. Then they move, how to move, how to bring it up. Slowly, slowly from bishop to archbishop to the Pope. And then make him vicarius veritatis. Right? Make him the vicar of Christ, the head of the church. You see how the move is? And this has been for 3 decades or more. But in the last 3 years, the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin leader, Orthodox Jews, they are talking about their own Messiah. The Jews believe that the Messiah is coming. But the Messiah that they expect is not the Messiah that the Bible talks about. The Muslims, they are also looking for the Messiah. And the Messiah is called Mahdi. And there is similarity between the Muslims looking for their Messiah and these Jews. What we call fake Jews, rather. Because they said that when the Messiah comes, he will apply this 7 Noahic law. And then they are presenting this with the Catholic Church. You are talking. Yes, we must bring back this in the last 3 years. They are presenting this to President Trump to bring this about. They are bringing it to the United Nations. Now let me tell you, with all the problems in the world today, they are still talking about the beast and the woman sitting on the beast. The problem back in those times, the problem is today. The beast with the 2 horns in America, with the image coming out. Huh? They have agenda. Look at America. Look at all the world. What a problem that is going on in the Middle East, in Europe, the yellow vest. You know, the problem is there. Huh? Venezuela. The trade issue. North Korea. This killing now in New Zealand. What do you think is going to happen? How do you going to stop this thing going on? How do you stop the hatred? How do you stop people killing other people? So they say, the only way to bring it, the Jew agree, the Catholic Church agree, the Muslim agree, the politician agree, United Nations agree, and all the fools in the world will agree. To bring this Noahic law to the world. And they believe that there will have to be someone that will enforce it. Whether it's a Jewish Messiah, whether it's the Islamic Messiah, or whether whoever that be the Messiah. You cannot deny God. If you do, your head will be cut off. They're going to apply it. Do not blaspheme God. You blaspheme God, you know, under the Sharia law, you know what you're going to do? Right? They're going to bring back. Yes? I'm going to send you the link on the internet. The whole lot of things all appear now about this Noahic law. Do not murder. Because you kill one somebody, off with your head. No hesitant, huh? They're going to be applied this strict thing. Do not engage in illicit sexual relation. It means thou shalt not commit adultery. Do not fornicate. Do not steal. Steal, not just a hand chop off for your life. You've taken something that don't belong to you, then you'll take your life. Do not eat from a live animal. Means live animal means blood. Respect all creatures. If you don't, the law applies. This 7 Noahic law. Think about it. How close we are now. This just in the last 2 years, there's a lot talk about it. And if you're not watchful, in the next moment, before it happens, something will happen and you will find yourself left behind. I'm still waiting for the final trump. So what I say here, God has created human person as a social being, which by definition places limits on individual human freedom. Got it? You don't have the freedom, huh? When that Messiah comes, you got no freedom. Moreover, freedom of choice is derived from God, and therefore is not absolute. So your choice is not absolute. You have to obey all those seven laws, but must reflect divine will and law. Accordingly, human beings are called to freely obey the divine will as manifest in the creation and in His revealed word. So your absolute freedom is not absolute. It has to be based on the divine law. Anything outside of that, you violate it. This is all coming to pass. They're already talking about it. They're already saying, yes, we're going to bring it in. God watch it. That's a lot of people don't understand. Oh, look at it. I think we should be very watchful what's going on in the world today. I don't know. When you get up in the morning, what do you do? Eat a breakfast, go to work, come back home, and you forget everything. You know, the Bible said, watch and pray. Jewish tradition emphasizes the Noahic law, or with Noahic covenant of chapter 9, Genesis 9 to 12. Read it. See what does it say there? And how come they apply that? Go to Genesis chapter 9, 9 to 12.
And I behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth. With you, from all that go up the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations.
Yeah, so they take this passage and make it the Noahic law and bring up all those 7 points of the law. I don't know how they took that and could bring it up. Huh? That's what the Jews are doing. And seeking the Catholic Church doing it. Even the Muslims doing it. When Donald Trump and they want to sign for it, they agreed to bring it in. The United Nations looking at it. Once the United Nations enforce it, that's what the Bible talks about. About the Antichrist making a covenant. Right? The Israel will make a covenant with many for 1 week. And we are going to see it happen. How soon would it be? Now look at the book of Acts. Because it said here by them that the Jewish tradition emphasizes Noahide law, covenant, as containing the universal moral code, which is incumbent on all humanity. This idea is reflected in Christian scripture in the book of Acts 15:28-29.
For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourself, ye shall do well. Very well.
That's what we see. We use those two verses, Old Testament, New Testament, and said that this is what are the laws of Noah, given to Noah, or the Noahic law. So, in the Hebrew root, the Hebrew whatever the Hebrew people are doing, they're getting, they're going to get the Christian to obey this. No wonder in America today, even some churches are practicing this Noahic law. Yes. Messianic Jew. You know Messianic Jew? Means those Jews who believe in Christ. They have been a Christian for 10, 20 years. Suddenly they turn around, left the Christian faith, embrace this. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you do not have the Spirit of Him, of God, not being born again, then you will move about from place to place and do whatever you want from place to place. The interpretation by the Jews are not from the Torah. They are from the Talmud. The Jewish people, they have the Torah, but the interpretation many times are from three other books. The Talmud, the Tanakh, and the Gem, can't remember how to pronounce that word. And they interpret it, and they said this is what it's supposed to be. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will keep us and cause us to see the world that we are living in. That we are not far from the end time prophecy of the rising up of the Antichrist. And the Lord bless every one of us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace of thy word given to us, O Lord, that we can embrace, Father, your love that you have shown to us. Coming to that place, O Lord, where you just want us to get closer to you, to walk with you, to be watchful, Father, for what's coming on the horizon. Oh, that we may continue to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Keep on falling in love with Him. And in the word of Christ that we may grow. For it is thy word that is a strong tower to us, Lord. Strong tower in the time of need and from the enemy. Father, we ask for your grace that you continue to bless us now. And I ask that, Lord, you guide us each and every day in the pathway of life. Asking this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.